And a good Monday morning, everybody. Welcome into the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. What's going on? Chase McCabe and Marquise Munson here with you for a Monday edition. Marquise, what's up?
What's going on, Chase? How's it going, buddy?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good on a Monday, ready to get going on another week. A lot of stuff to get into, including as we inch closer and closer to a return to play for the NBA, for the NHL, for Major League Baseball. There continues to be a lot of news that come out of those sports. So we'll start with the National Hockey League. It came out last night that the NHL and the NHLPA both have been working very hard to try and get an agreement together. And they've been trying to hit it all at one time, working on the Phase 3 and Phase 4 protocols for the return to play, and also get a new CBA done. They're not quite there on the CBA, but very close with that. But they have come up with the protocols for the NHL and the NHLPA. TSN's Bob McKenzie has been all over this, and he lays out what they've come up with.
That the National Hockey League and the National Hockey League Players Association reached a tentative agreement on the return to play protocols for Phase 3, which is training camp, and Phase 4, which would be the hub cities, Toronto and Edmonton, where they would actually play games to the conclusion of 2019-20. So they've reached a tentative agreement on that. I should point out, though, that until they get the tentative agreement done on the collective bargaining agreement, memo of understanding, which is really guaranteeing an economic framework for the players and the owners for the next 6 years, until that is put to bed either later tonight or sometime tomorrow, the entire package can't be voted on by the Board of Governors and or ratified by the NHLPA Executive Committee and the NHLPA full membership. That may take till later in the week for all that to happen.
TSN's Bob McKenzie on the latest with the NHL. So as you heard there, they still have to agree on the CBA. They still have to come up with all of that, and then the voting will take a little bit with the players. But it appears we're inching closer and closer to a return to play. So we know the hub cities or the safe zones or whatever they're being called, Edmonton and Toronto, that's where that's going to happen. The conference finals and the cup final will take place in Edmonton. Players' families would be allowed to join them once they get to that point, but not before that point. So that I thought that was an interesting part of the agreement that they've come up with. July 13th seems to be the target date, Monday, July 13th, for training camps to open. So they would get going into Phase 3 on July 13th. And somebody, Marquise, has been saying August 1st seems like the logical time for them to get the season resumed. And that is when it's going to be Phase 4.
So man, look. That's gonna be if they start August 1st, that'd be just perfect. That's just gonna this is gonna be an amazing week. You got the NBA starting up that July 30th and that 31st, and that first weekend's gonna be awesome. And then you got the NHL as well. And it seems like, because at first, you know, when they first came out with their return to play plan in the beginning, it was mid-July when, you know, they were targeting when they were going to start, but they never gave an actual date on when it was going to start. So now it's starting to look like they're probably going to start a little bit after the NBA, maybe a couple days, maybe even a week after the NBA season starts. So, and they'll probably end around the same time, maybe that October date. So, I mean, it's itching closer. Like, you know, as we're learning from a city, we're going in these different phases as well. So, you know, hopefully, you know, we get a answer later this week on when an actual date is, so we can get excited about some hockey.
Yeah, and all these dates right now that I'm throwing out there are tentative because they still have to ratify this plan. Now, here's another date that you need to pay attention to. 4:00 Central Time on Tuesday, if they get it ratified, it's going to be 3 days after they get everything ratified. That is the opt-out date. And what I find interesting about this, Marquise, is it says, as part of the agreement for a return to play, this is from Emily Kaplan of ESPN, players are going to be given the ability to opt out of the tournament with no questions asked. They don't need a reason, and there won't be any recourse. They can just say, hey, I'm opting out. And they would have, after this is ratified, they have 3 days after that to make their decision. I think, like we've seen in baseball, like we've seen in the NBA, you're going to have some players that just say, nope, I'm going to opt out. I'm not going to play. And that's just something that teams are going to have to deal with as they go.
But see, I'm wondering, so what's NHL's plan going to be to replace those players? We know kind of what baseball's plan is. We kind of know NBA, I guess. They're just going to pick up on free agents and G League players. What do you think the NHL's plan is going to be to kind of fill up those roster spots if guys back out?
Well, it'll be about the same. I mean, you'll get players coming up from the American Hockey League, the minor league system, for the NHL. So you'll have some players that most likely have some NHL experience that'll be added to teams. I don't know about free agents, if they would be able to sign free agents and go that route. I would assume they probably would, but I think that's probably what you'll end up seeing. You'll have some players that just, you know, decide not to play, and they'll replace them that way. You know, with the Predators, this is something that I believe is a little bit of an advantage, that if there are some players that opt out from this team, you know, you have some players that are very close to being NHL ready that have had a very good season in Milwaukee, that usually you would call them the Black Aces, that they'll always travel for the playoffs, but they'll never play. Those guys, you know, they would lean on. So that's probably what they will do. But as a part of this agreement, depending on how long your team is in, they'll be away from their families 5 weeks. And then, like I said, once they get to the conference final, their families will be able to join. So, you know, as you're eliminated, obviously you leave the bubble, you go home, and you're back with your family. So I know 5 weeks is a lot, but in the grand scheme of things, at least they'll be able to join at some point. So I found that to be an interesting thing. The NHL is trying to minimize the number of people in the bubble, calling them secure zones. I think that's interesting, calling them secure zones. But there's this whole layout of what they can do there. A 52 member traveling party for each team. I did see this. I don't know if you saw this last night, but they want a social media person. They're requiring each team to bring a social media content creator as a part of their traveling party. I find that to be fascinating that they want to have something like that.
Yeah, that's awesome, because I haven't really heard anything from the NBA's perspective on if they're allowing certain. I know there's certain media members there. I know Malika Andrews, she was on Golic and Wingo this morning, and she just got to the bubble either yesterday or this morning. So they have media there. So I wonder if teams are going to bring, you know, because we had that question even with broadcasters of, are they going to bring every team going to bring their own broadcasters? You know, are they just going to do just a national broadcast for every team? So to have one person in each organization, to have that social media person, you know, that is pretty cool. And, you know, hopefully we can find that application if you want to make a trip down to Edmonton.
Let's go.
I do. I want to make a trip down to Orlando, but, you know, we don't have an NBA team here. So,
yeah.
But it's, I mean, yeah, that's pretty cool to just be able to have some kind of media presence there. It may not be us. It may not be the reporters from The Athletic or anybody else, but at least have somebody there to kind of help us out with the, as far as the media portion is concerned.
So you bring up the NBA and Malika Andrews, who is there. She actually was on ESPN and discussed the protocols that are in place for the NBA bubble.
So basically, if players are going to travel separate from the team, this memo says, they have a couple of options of how they could potentially get to Orlando. They could travel by charter plane out of their own pocket. They could travel by car, or they could travel on commercial air. Now, if they travel by car or by private plane, when they get to Orlando, they have to test negative twice for coronavirus before they can be incorporated into basketball activities. If they travel commercially, they will actually have to test negative three times before they would be able to join their team and resume in any activities. And this is important, Jay, because from talking to front office folks around the league, they want to know exactly how long their players would be sidelined if they join later. Because like you mentioned, that training camp in Orlando is the first time they'll be able to play 5-on-5 basketball. And so having more time in training camp will lessen any potential risk to injuries maybe, and also help these guys get acclimated to the game, so that when games start again on July 30th, it could be a higher level of basketball and they won't have to shake off quite as much rust.
I just got this mental picture, Marquise, Malika Andrews there. for ESPN of a player just pulling up in a bus that they like they you know those really nice tour buses pulling up in one of those, and that's how they get down there. That's got like the king size bed in the back and you know just a full kitchen, just almost as nice as your house. I could totally see like LeBron or somebody just rolling up in that.
See, I could see, it depends. I could see somebody in from like maybe Memphis, maybe like a Ja Morant since Memphis is closer to Orlando, or maybe somebody in within this region I can see driving there. I can't see LeBron James. Like LeBron James is private jet all day. Like he's flying private jet, maybe him. And
actually, I think he could fly with the team. Like they'll do that because how I understood that, they're still going to have the team charter.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
just
for sure.
If you want to travel by yourself.
Look, if LeBron James says, hey, I know the team charter just landed in Orlando, but I'm ready, so come back and pick me up. I'm pretty sure they're dropping J.R. Smith off wherever they can drop him off at, and then they're going to go pick up LeBron James, and then maybe pick up J.R. later. They might drop J.R. in, like, Atlanta somewhere and be like, hey, man, we got to turn around. We got to go get Bron, so we'll be right back. Keep your shirt on. Here's a Black and Mild, because he was smoking Black and Miles this weekend, which is very J.R. Smith-like, to be right before a scrimmage, and you're over here smoking Black and Miles. That is such a J.R. Smith thing to do. But anyway, they can just drop him off and go pick up LeBron James. And they'll be fine.
We flying.
Yeah, if LeBron says I'm flying. I'm flying regardless. So nah, it's so basically teams are going to start traveling this week. So tomorrow is when it begins up until the 9th. That's when all the teams are going to be traveling to Orlando for this bubble. And then that's when we'll start, you know, getting teams acclimated. I know the scrimmages schedule just got released on Saturday, and scrimmages basically will start on the 22nd. There's going to be four scrimmages, it looks like, a day. I think there's maybe one day where they have three scrimmages. I don't know if they're broadcast yet. I wish they were. So I'm not too sure on that yet. They really haven't had a TV schedule for it. They just kind of had times on when each team was supposed to, you know, report to their – there's two separate arenas that they're going to play in for scrimmages. So it kind of has the times on when they were supposed to report there. But there's no word on whether or not it's going to be broadcast. If it is going to be broadcasted, more than likely will be on NBA TV, because that's kind of what they do with the summer league. And that's what they do with, like, the NFL or NBA draft combine, is they basically broadcast it on NBA TV. So if they do broadcast scrimmages, it will hopefully be on NBA TV or ESPN, because they need the content at this point, because we're kind of running out. I got to watch B Water yesterday, and I think there was an Eagles concert that was on ESPN, which I was very confused about.
I watched it. It was awesome.
I don't know why. I saw
it was at the Forum.
I saw Chris Berman talking, and I was like, oh, I wonder what Chris Berman's talking about. And then they just went to like an Eagles concert, and I was like, wait, what? I don't know what's going on right now. So I just turned it. But you know, they're itching for content, so I hope they broadcast the scrimmage, because that's how much of an NBA junkie I am. I would watch a scrimmage that doesn't mean anything at this point just to watch.
You'd be watching
basketball.
Summer league right now.
No, I actually, what's funny, I watched TBT this weekend, which is basically a basketball tournament that has, like, you know, former players. I know Wade Baldwin, who played at Vandy, he's playing on the Floyd Mayweather team of that TBT league. And it's basically just a tournament of players in college that doesn't play anymore. It's like adult AAU basketball is kind of what I call it. And then the grand prize gets like $1 million at the end, split amongst their team. So I was watching that this weekend. So that's how much basketball I want right now.
I know.
So I would
watch
a scrimmage.
Hey, we're close, man. We're getting almost there.
All we had to do, and we said this in like the beginning of all this, like July has to be the date for at least. If we don't start in July, I don't think we're ever going to get this thing started. So a lot of things are starting, especially with baseball coming up in a couple weeks. Basketball's coming up. We're going to find out a date for NHL. UFC still going on. NASCAR still going on strong. So, like, we're getting there. We're getting there slowly but surely. But we need basketball and NHL just to put the icing on the cake.
Yeah, and I've enjoyed watching NASCAR, which I saw this today. I thought this was just interesting, that the timing of this, but they reported ratings are up 8% since returning from the hiatus on May 7th.
Well, that's good. Like I said, and kudos to NASCAR for, you know, jumping up in front of every other sport and getting their sport, because like UFC is like UFC and NASCAR are niche sports. I feel like you just gotta like really be in tune with that sport to really sit down and watch that sport. So they both jumped at the opportunity of being the first ones at the gate to basically get their sport started. With NASCAR, they're a little easier because a lot of UFC fights are on either pay-per-view or ESPN Plus, which is very hard to get access to if you don't have ESPN Plus. But NASCAR, they're on Fox, you know, so they're easy accessible. So
yep.
You know, NASCAR was smart by getting ahead of the game, and all of a sudden now their ratings are 8% up, and then you know, hopefully those fans are going to be able to stay as sports start to resume. So kudos to NASCAR for that and Kevin Hart for winning yesterday.
Oh, yeah. When we come back, some news on Nashville SC. We'll discuss that when we return. It's the Rundown. Chase McKay, Marquise Munson, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can listen to 102.5 The Game, stream us anywhere, download the Game Nashville app, enable our Alexa skill, or Google Home and ask to play 102.5 The Game or live stream from our website. TheGameNashville.com. Chase McKay, Marquise Munson here on the Rundown on a Monday as we get ready closer and closer to more live sports coming. Kevin Harvick won the Brickyard 400 yesterday at Indianapolis. So that is ongoing. We know UFC Fight Island is coming up, going to be this weekend. We'll get into that a little later on. But
cannot wait.
I know. I'm excited for that too. Wednesday night, Nashville SC is scheduled to resume their season against Chicago, but a report came out yesterday that five players for the squad tested positive for COVID-19. They did have delays getting to Orlando. They were supposed to leave, I think it was Wednesday, and it ended up being delayed twice before they finally got there on Friday. Sam Steiskel, who covers MLS for The Athletic, reported Sunday that those five players tested positive. His tweet says, reporting with Paul Tenero, sources say Nashville has had five players test positive for COVID since arriving in Orlando on Friday. One upon arrival, four more subsequently. Last four need to be confirmed by follow-ups. NSC hasn't trained since Tuesday, supposed to play on Wednesday. And I did see some tweets circulating last night that could be delayed, but nothing confirmed there. Nashville SC has not given any update on this, but it is some significant news as they get into MLS's bubble in Orlando and get ready to go. I mean, again, I put this back in the category of we kind of expected there to be players that would test positive as they all got together. Now it's just figuring out, okay, are these tests accurate? Are they for real positives? Are they false positives? Working through all that, and then what does it mean moving forward for playing games?
Yeah, see, so now I'm curious to wonder, did MLS, and I'm not bashing MLS, but they kind of mishandled the situation, because didn't you test players before they travel to Orlando? Shouldn't that be the thing that you do before they get there in the bubble? Is kind of like what the NBA is doing, pretty much what NHL is going to do with their players, is testing them before they travel to the destination that they're going to. That would probably be, you know, mistake number one by MLS is basically.
I think they probably did that. This is the confusion with all of this, though, is, and I'm not sitting here pretending to be an expert at all. So this is just me talking and giving my opinion.
Not neither one of us.
Yeah, but I think that's the problem that we're running into is okay, if you take a test and it comes back negative, and then you take another one and it comes back positive, okay, so which one's right? And it's just figuring out how accurate these tests are. And I don't really have a good comparison of how you figure this out, but excuse me, but I think that this is where these leagues have to just be patient, and these players have to be patient, because it's all right, they're probably gonna have some question marks with some tests, and they just have to sit back and figure it out, just keep doing it and have the doctors involved. But I know it's been obviously a tough few days for SC as they're trying to they just want to play.
No, absolutely.
Gary Smith and his crew, they just want to get on the field or the pitch and get back to training and get ready to go to face Chicago. But I can certainly understand the frustration that's coming out because of this, because you just There's just still a lot we don't know about this virus.
No, absolutely. And here's the hard part, too, especially if you're a team like Nashville SC. You're your new team, brand new. You've only had two games, and both of those were obviously, you know, losses. But then you go into your third game situation, and you will possibly be without five of your players. And we don't know who these players are, but I'm pretty sure that if they were traveling with the team, pretty sure they were, you know, pretty, you know, within depth in their roster. So, and pretty key players on their roster. So, you know, we don't know what players they are, but it's still, you're losing five players on your team, and you're going to have to either replace them with five more and continue to build that chemistry that you guys are kind of a new team, so you're working on, you know, so it's that's the hardest part for me for them is they're a new team. They got, you know, five players that are going to be out. You're probably going to have to replace them with five more players wherever you can find them. And then you're going to have to kind of rekindle that chemistry once again. And it's just it's hard for them. But, you know, hopefully that, you know, with the other four players, hopefully, you know, at least some of those guys can get back on the field. And if not, then, you know, maybe they postpone the game to next week, and then maybe we'll just get soccer for Nashville SC next week instead of getting it this week. So, you know, it's we still don't know what this virus and the effects it has. And so obviously we're taking a lot of caution with this, and I'm pretty sure the NBA is going to do the same thing when their players land tomorrow and in the next couple of days of testing their players as soon as they hop off the plane and making sure that before they go in that bubble, everybody's negative to make sure we avoid situations like this to where we go in and then five players test positive or three players or two and you're missing out on a chunk of your roster. So, you know, that's going to be it's hard for a team like Nashville SC, who is new in this game, who's new in MLS, that's got to rekindle that chemistry all over again with possibly five players being out of their team.
Yeah. So it's a situation that we will for sure keep updating you on as more information comes out with Nashville SC and what's going to happen. But hopefully they can get on the pitch this week and get everything going. So we will see. As for Major League Baseball, they have reported to summer camp, as we're calling it, but the players that are opting out of the season continues to grow, including one that is well known here in Nashville. But with the Atlanta Braves, you know, they had four players test positive, including first baseman Freddie Freeman, and so he's obviously in quarantine right now. Felix Hernandez, who was having a really good spring training for the Braves, and looked to be a part of that return to play roster, he has opted out of the season. The first base coach Eric Young has opted out of the season for the Braves, but the biggest name around this area would be for your Dodgers and pitcher David Price deciding not to play this year because of COVID-19 concerns.
Yeah, it was hard. Like I knew, like we already knew that players were going to start opting out of the season, and that's kind of was a no-brainer. And then it starts hitting home, and then you have to start to realize, like, how am I going to take this as a fan? And, you know, I saw it with Avery Bradley, and now I'm seeing it with David Price of how are you going to react as a fan when it hits home? Like, I've seen players opt out of the Nets. I've seen players dropped out of other teams that, you know, maybe I don't support as much, so I have a different feeling towards that. But when it hits home, how do you feel? And, yeah, it as a fan, like, yeah, it sucks that, you know, David Price is not going to be out there. You know, the Dodgers bullpen was already a big question for me going into the season. And now, you know, you're stuck with, you know, Kershaw and Walker Buehler and Julio and Alex Wood being your starters. And, you know, yeah, you're missing a huge chunk of your roster when you lose a guy like David Price, who probably could have got you, you know, 6 to 10 games this year. However, I understand it. And this is where, as a fan, like, I just have to be like, look, I care about all the players that play in the uniform of all my teams, whether that's Dodgers, Lakers, or Raiders. I care about the person, too, you know, because once you're a Dodger, you're always going to be a Dodger to me. Once you're a Laker, you're always a Laker to me. And so, you know, I support David Price, man. If he doesn't feel comfortable playing, he has a family he wants to take care of, he wants to make sure they're safe during this time, I am perfectly fine with that. As a fan of the Dodgers, as much as I want him on that field, as much as I think this is a huge loss for us as far as that bullpen's concerned, you know what? it's deeper than just me winning a World Series and me being able to watch the Dodgers win the World Series for the first time since 1988. You know, it's deeper than that to me. It's about those players too. And I think that's what a lot of fans lose sight of, yeah, you love your team, but you lose sight of the person that's actually playing on your team. So David Price, I fully support you, man. And you know, hopefully I'll be able to watch you in a Dodgers uniform in the following season and we can get this ball rolling again. So, you know, hopefully he sits out, man, and hopefully his family stays, you know, safe during this time. And Avery Bradley too, who has a, you know, a kid who is, you know, can really get affected by this virus. So, right. You know, him too as well. You know, it's a big loss for the Lakers, but at the end of the day, you know, it's a decision that they have to make, and it's a decision that we have to understand as fans.
Yeah, because they're human too. They have lives outside of the
absolutely
sport that they play in the public spotlight that they live in.
Like as much as you guys hear us on the radio and we're all working from home and different things like that, but you know, just imagine if we were just be like, okay, we're not just gonna do the show. We just don't feel comfortable doing it, you know, during this time. And then what people would obviously be angry with us, but you just have to understand, like, we're everybody's people. Like if a grocery store clerk felt uncomfortable stocking shelves because of this virus and they were scared to go to work, I would not blame them. I would not blame them. If you do want to go to work, I don't blame you. Like I'm on the fence. I've heard JJ Redick talk about this a lot, especially with the social injustice that's going on that players want to address and with this virus going on. He said, look, I understand both sides. If you don't want to play, that's perfectly fine. And I can understand that. And I respect that. If you do want to play, once again, I respect that. If you want to play, whatever. I don't look at you any differently if you want to play or if you don't want to play. Yeah, it sucks that you're not going to play and I'm not going to be able to watch you play. But at the end of the day, family comes first before all this stuff. Because at the end of the day, once basketball's over, once baseball's over, once football, hockey's over with, your family's all you got. So you want to make sure you take care of them as much as you can. So at the end of the day, as fans, we just got to throw our hands up, be like, well, we lost Freddie Freeman. Well, I'm not saying Freddie Freeman's out yet, but, you know, we lost, you know, David Price. We lost Felix, you know, whatever. You know, we'll move forward with the players we got. So hopefully every fan has that mindset going into it.
Yeah, and you mentioned Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman tested positive, and his manager, Brian Snicker, said that he was showing some symptoms, but seems to be doing well. Reliever Will Smith, who was a big free agent signing for the Braves this year, also tested positive, and then two other teammates. So they're going to be out for a little bit.
How do you feel about Felix and those other players?
I'm fine with it. I mean, I'm not going to fault you for doing what's best for you and your family. Just not because absolutely. You make a lot more money than I do doesn't mean that, you know, you should be put in harm's way. When you don't feel comfortable.
Yeah,
so
people
I'm
have
totally
to stop. People have to stop using that narrative of you make all this money. You make, and I understand it for baseball players. They're probably going to get it the worst. Like basketball and NHL, they probably will get it less. I think baseball players will get it the worst just because of everything surrounding it with the MLBPA and Tony Clark and Rob Manfred and the owners and all that bickering and back and forth. It's going to make it a lot worse when players back out because fans are going to get, oh, so we went through all that stuff with the MLBPA and Tony Clark, Rob Manfred and all this drama, and you guys now don't want to play. Like, you guys make all this money and you guys don't want to play. Like, we have to get out of that narrative of just because a guy makes $1 million a year or $2 million or whatever, that means he's subject to having to go out there to risk his life for your amusement and for your team to win a championship. Like, that defeats the point of just being a human being. Like, just if they don't want to play, that's fine. I don't care if you make $100,000 or $100 million. Like, if you don't want to play, and if you don't feel comfortable playing because you don't want to risk your family's life, respect it and just back off. Like, don't bicker at these players. I've seen that a lot, like this week, even with David Price, of just like, yo, like, if he doesn't want to play, that's his business, man. Well, won't you go out there and go pitch, you know, nine innings in a pandemic and then go back to your family or miss your family for 3 months? Why don't you go do that? And I'm pretty sure people say, oh, I'll do it in a heartbeat. I bet you won't. So let's not create that narrative of, oh, he's backing out of on his team. Like, no, it's not. He's taking care of his family. He has another team, too, and it's called Team Price. So that's who he's taking care of, and I can respect it and understand it.
And look, even if Freddie Freeman comes after testing positive, because I was reading quotes from his wife that they've been very careful. They haven't gone out. They have literally stayed home, haven't seen friends. They've had groceries delivered to them. And he still got it. If he came out and said, "Hey, yep, can't do this. I'm not going to come back." It would be a bummer, because that would obviously be a huge hit for the Braves. But I would understand. I would say. I would totally understand. Like, hey, it's bigger than a game.
Yeah, Freddie Freeman has kids, dude. Like if he doesn't want to play, because that's his priority. That's his second team. And to me, to be honest with you, that's the team that's most important. You know, the Dodgers are cool. You know, they pay me some money. They make sure I can take care of my family. But at the end of the day, I'm Team Price. You know, I'm my wife and my kids. Like, that's who I have to take care of the most. Because, yeah, I'm on a 5-year deal with the Dodgers or whatever the case may be. But guess what? I'm on a lifelong deal with these people. And these are the people that I got to take care of. So, like, I understand. If players want to back out, go right ahead, man. As much as I'm itching for some basketball and I'm shaking in my boots knowing that I'm going to be able to watch 7 games, if I'm going to be able to watch those 7 games and I got to watch it without LeBron James or watch it without certain players, then guess what? I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm going to get some basketball regardless, because there's going to be players that don't think like that, you know, just want to play. They just want to hoop, so or want to play baseball. So we're going to get both sides. So it doesn't matter. I just want some sports. I don't care who playing it. I just want some sports.
Me too. That's what we want too. When we come back here on the Rundown, the latest on the football team in Washington, I guess is what we're going to call them for now. We will discuss that when we return on the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson, back at the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. So the latest on Washington, the Washington Redskins are, of course, going through a thorough review of their name, and it's all indications are they're going to change their name. After a lot of time, this isn't anything new. Let's just be very clear on that this has been a subject for a long time of people wanting them to change the logo, change the name. So this isn't anything new. It's just obviously with everything going on in our country, it's really been pushed to the forefront. And I'm glad to see Dan Snyder finally, you know, getting off the hill he was dying on and looking to make a change. Ron Rivera saying that there have been discussions internally of new nicknames, and it's something that's been a process for a couple of weeks now. But there are 3 minority owners with the team. They own about 40% of the team, and they're looking to sell. They have hired an investment banking firm to undergo a search for possible buyers, one source told the Washington Post. They're not happy being a partner with Dan Snyder, according to the report. So now you have 3 owners that are that own a minority stake in the team that are looking to sell their portion and get out.
Look, I'm looking at it like this, and I don't think Dan Snyder is doing this because he just has this moral change of, you know what, it is pretty racist to say this term. Like, this name is pretty racist to Native Americans. I don't think he had that notion. I think he had pressure. And once you start putting pressure in pockets, that's when you change your tone quickly. When Nike pulled your merchandise from their website, when FedEx pulled themselves from and said that, hey, they got to change their name or we're backing out, and he's not going to get a new arena unless otherwise. Once you start putting pockets into play, that's when you start really having a change of heart. So I don't think Dan Snyder is just like, you know, now I'm starting to realize that, you know, maybe this is just a bad name. No, he could have been realized this years ago when people were all in his ear telling him how bad it was to have this name in the first place. But now he's like, we're going to ignore it. We're going to keep it. It's the same thing we saw in Mississippi. It takes a couple players to just be like, you know what? We're not going to play in the state of Mississippi. And then you guys are going to lose all this in college football. College football drives this city. And you're going to lose it because we're not going to play unless you change that flag. And guess what? They were like, should we change the flag because morally it's wrong or because players are finally just saying, you know what, they're not going to play in our state unless otherwise. And then they have to change it. So Dan Snyder is finally, okay, now they're in my pocket, so I have to go ahead and change it. So let's just go ahead and change it. I'm glad. Like, look, I'm a component of change. If any by any means necessary, if we get a change, whether or not we got to put pressures on necks like this, then I'm all for it as long as there's change there. But I just want him to realize that that name was bad the entire time that he's been there, and he's never changed it, and he's never fought to change it, and now all of a sudden he wants to because his pockets got threatened. So, you know, it's just. Dan Snyder, to me, like, everybody rags on James Dolan, and great, because James Dolan is just bad because he's a bad owner for the Knicks. He's just bad. But Dan Snyder's worse, to me, in my opinion. Dan Snyder's, like, one of the worst owners in sports, in my opinion.
No, I agree.
But we rag on James Dolan, and it's fun to do that because he has a band and he plays in a little band and his band's trash and he's an owner and people don't like him and yeah, they rag on him. But Dan Snyder needs to be the one that we really rag on because he's just been a terrible owner for this. I'm going to call him the team in Washington. The team in Washington. He's been a terrible owner since he's been there.
And
this is the reason why the majority owners are backing up. This is the reason why they can never keep star players, because what star player really wants to play for them? I'm going to call them them, the Washington no. Thems. Like, who wants to play for them? Nobody. So, and this is why he's toxic to that team. He just needs to sell the team and let's move on with a different owner.
He'll never do that. His ego. Yeah. And see, this is why I think a name change is perfect for him, because he's got such an ego. The dude, now you can make it yours. You come up with this name. You know, Ron Rivera said over the weekend that they have had discussions. They've come up with some names. There are two that he really likes. He didn't reveal what they were, but they've come up with alternative names. The NFL is on board. Roger Goodell is being supportive and saying that, you know, we hope that they can get this done. This is an important step. I know Ron Rivera saying their hope they can get it done before the season and just go ahead and do it. But this is perfect for Dan Snyder, because Dan Snyder can then say, oh, yeah, this is mine. Okay, I know the tradition and the history here, but this is my name. This is my team. So it's one of those, just let him think it's his idea and move on. At that point, you'll get it done. And it would appear that they're close to doing that. But you're right. You threaten the money. You threaten sponsorship. Then that's going to force some change.
But I'm glad. I'm glad that now players and this is like, and I'm going to put the finger at the companies too, because these companies know. Like, Nike knows what that means. You know, FedEx knew what that meant. You know what I mean? Like, they've already known what that meant. And yet, see, with players, it's different, because especially when it comes to college. Because when you're a college kid, you're always taught to what? Respect your higher-ups, right? Respect the people that are in charge, right? That's what you're taught in college, to respect those people. So college kids have always backed out for a few years. And mind you, I would probably do the same if I was a college kid, because you want to respect those that are higher up. And that's what they did until this time. But with these companies and these organizations who put their money into these places knowing what that means, you know, they're to blame too. The only reason why is they want to be ahead of the curve of saying, oh, we're FedEx. We're going to back out of this because we think it's wrong. Did you not think it was wrong like 5 years ago or whenever you put your name on that stadium? You know, Nike, did you not see how wrong that was? You know, Nike, you got some skeletons in your closet too. And I wear shoes all the time, but I'm saying you just got some skeletons too. I'm just saying. But, you know, now all of a sudden, since you want to, like, oh, we're going to stand up for what we believe in. Well, guess what? You should have stand up for what you believed in 5 years ago before you put your name on it. So it's just so these companies are to blame, too. And I'm glad that they finally are just like, you know what? Like, you know, there's change happening across our nation. everywhere, from the Confederate flag being removed from NASCAR, from it being removed from the Mississippi State flag. Like, it's change. Statues are getting taken down. There's real change going on. And so now I'm starting, I think I'm happy to realize, you know, that FedEx is finally realizing that that's a bad name, and let's just move on from it, and let's move forward. Let's move forward with something else instead of offending, you know, a certain, you know, person or anybody for that matter. So hopefully they change it to something cool. Change it to the Generals. They lose all the time, so change it to the Generals. Like, it would fit perfectly. I don't know what would define DC. So I really don't. Like, I just say the DC Generals would be pretty good. Yep. I like that. DC Generals.
Speaking of moving forward, UFC 251 is moving forward. They have a main event. We will discuss that when we come back here on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson here with you on a Monday. I know this one. I just can't quite place it.
Oh, man. I thought that was a layup for you, too.
I can hear, like, I can. Matt. Oh, wait, is that Apollo?
No, it's Matt Riddle.
Matt Riddle. Oh.
They get it, UFC? Matt Riddle? Yeah. Bro. Good. Bro. Yeah. Matt Riddle's awesome.
That's good. That's well done. Nice tie-in by you. So, yeah, speaking of UFC, they do have a main event for Fight Island, UFC 251, which will be Saturday night. Obviously, the original main event had to be scrapped, but Usman and Masvidal will be the main event. Kamaru Usman and Jorge Masvidal.
BMF.
Yeah, so I know you're excited about this matchup.
Yes, I am. This is amazing. This is actually, and this is no knocking Gilbert Burns, because Gilbert Burns was on a 6-fight win streak. Like, Gilbert Burns is pretty legit. I'm pretty sure that fight would have still been amazing. But to me, this fight right here, this is the fight. This is the fight that everybody has wanted. You know, Jorge has been through 48 fights in his UFC career and has never got a title shot. Never until now, until this week. You know, that's why he had to defend the BMF title against Nate Diaz in his last fight. And he's been on a hot streak. I mean, he's on a 3-fight win streak in 2019. He's probably one of the most popular fighters of that year. He had the fastest knockout against Ben Askren, you know, in that last fight before Nate Diaz. So, like, he's deserved a title shot. So, I'm happy to see it. You know, it sucks for Gilbert that, you know, he tested positive for, you know, COVID-19, and he had to back out of this fight. You know, Dana White for being able to pull this off, because you want to make Fight Island as big as possible. So to have 3 title fights on your card is what makes it big as possible. So, you know, he almost lost one, especially when it's the main event fight. So kudos to him for pulling it off late and getting, you know, Jorge in there. And, you know, he deserves it. He deserved a title shot from the get-go. He probably was going to get the winner of this fight anyway, but we're getting it now, and it's on short notice. I think I heard he was like 20 pounds heavier, so he's going to have to really, really work on losing some weight this week and cutting some weight this week. But, man, I'm looking forward to it, man. I was going to watch Fight Island anyway because it looks like a Mortal Kombat video game. But guess what? I'm even more excited now.
Yeah, I am too. I think it's showing everybody that Dana White has figured out that whenever there's an obstacle because of this virus, he's going to figure out a way around it, and he's going to figure out that you have to adjust on the fly, and that's what other sports are going to have to do. So I almost think that he has created the blueprint of how to navigate through these waters.
Yeah, he has. And he's, I mean, he was the first one out of the gate to begin with to do live sport. I mean, we're not counting wrestling, because I know people are like, oh, wrestling doesn't count. So we're not going to say wrestling. I'm just going to take wrestling out of it and put UFC was the first one out of the gate to professional sports to actually do something, you know, with all this going on. And so he's figured that part out. He's figured out how to have media in it, because there's media there. He's figured out how to have his fighters test before fights and you know, throughout the fight week. And I think there's only been twice this happened where he had to pull a fighter from testing positive. And this is the second time it's happened, and they've been, you know, going on for a couple months now. So he's figured out the way. And, you know, obviously you can't, if a fighter pulls out or if a basketball player pulls out, you just kind of pull another basketball player in. For fighting, it's a lot more difficult because, you know, you have to get a guy on short notice like you did with Jorge Masvidal. So, and he, you know, now he has to cut weight in 6 days. And, you know, he had to do a coronavirus test and he tested negative and they're going to be traveling to Vegas. So, you know, he's figured out a way to get all this done. And that, and on top of that, preparing for Fight Island, which I'm pretty sure that's not an easy task to do when you're preparing for a fight on a private island somewhere. But he's figured all this stuff out. So, you know, I know commissioners frown upon UFC and they look down on UFC a little bit because they call it barbaric and they think it's just this blood sport, in which it is. But, you know, you have to take into account that, you know, Dana White, out of all this, you know, you put him up there with Adam Silver, of people who know what they're doing during this virus and has figured a plan and figured out a plan to make this whole thing work. So you got to kind of give kudos to him. Even though if you don't like his sport, you got to give credit where credit's due for pulling all this stuff off.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So, and we've been entertained by all of this, whether it's watching on Fight Night, watching on the pay-per-views since they have made their return, even though I would say that they didn't really go away. It was very brief. And Dana White continues to show what kind of an entertainer, a booker, however you want to call it, that he can be. And therefore, he's capitalized on this. It's like you said earlier with NASCAR. It's capitalizing on these opportunities, making sure it's safe, which I feel like it has been. You know, we talked to Adam Hill from the ESPN affiliate in Vegas a few weeks ago. He's been one of those media members that have been allowed in. And, you know, he seemed to feel safe in talking about it and being there and the protocols that were set in place.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it's something that other sports can learn from.
Yeah, absolutely. Even with NASCAR, and I don't think we've mentioned it enough, Chase, of just how they've been able to pull this off and how they've been able to still go on with their races as normal and day-to-day plan. And they had fans at Talladega, and, you know, they're continuously doing that same thing too. So even credit to what NASCAR is doing and how they're setting everything up.
Yep, exactly. So going to be fun to watch this weekend with UFC 251 from Fight Island.
I can't wait. It's going to look awesome.
I know.
I saw pictures of it. It's just like, it's just beautiful.
We will be watching, I am sure. That is going to do it for this edition of The Rundown, but stick around. Darren Donick and Chase. Darren McFarland is back. That is next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.